Well, this morning, I was thinking about what to preach about. And last week, my wife and I, we got a chance, and first time in about a year, that we really got to get away on a vacation. Things are busy, and sometimes you get going, and you just, it's not that you forget vacation, but it's hard to take vacation. Anybody can relate to that? And we're back now, and we could use a few days vacation to recover from our vacation. And as I was doing that, the sermon title this morning is, Here's Your Sign. Sometimes, like our sister, sometimes you need a sign from God, a big sign. And I know the Blue Comedy Tour or whatever it is, the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, the redneck guys, they do the Here's Your Sign. Have you heard of those things? I'm not sure who really hasn't heard of those things at times. I pulled a couple of those up. What a riot. You know, that people actually do this. I don't know if these things are true or not, but they seem like they could be because I've had that happen. Somebody will walk up to you and say something. And you're like, really? And you just want to hand them a sign and go, you want to say that over again? Some of the most popular ones is he was saying that one time he had a flat tire. He pulled his truck into one of those side of the road gas stations. The attendant walked out, looked at his truck, looks at me, and I swear he said, tire go flat? And I said, couldn't resist. I said, nope, I was driving around and those other three just swelled right up on me. Here's your sign. I'm thinking, does this really happen? A couple months ago, I went fishing with a buddy of mine and we pulled his boat into the dock. I lifted up the big old stringer of bass that we had caught. And this idiot on the dock says, hey, y'all catch them? I said, nope, talked them all into giving up. Here's your sign. You know, and I would think that they just made these stories up, except I remember going down to Lakeside Beach one summer and I had all my snorkeling gear on and someone said to me, as I put the fins on, I'm walking out with my gear, you going snorkeling? And I didn't have a line at the moment, but all I can think of was, here's your sign. Really? I love this one. One more. Just one more. He says, I learned to drive truck, an 18-wheeler in my days of adventure. Wouldn't you know I misjudged the height of a bridge? The truck got stuck. I couldn't get it out no matter how hard I tried. I radioed for help, and eventually a local cop shows up. And this has nothing to do with you, okay? So he didn't say deputy. It was a cop. City. I'm going to have a letter for that one. He went through his basic questioning. No problem, I thought. For sure he was clear of needing a sign until he said so. Is your truck stuck under the overpass? I couldn't help myself. I looked at him. I looked back at the rig and then back at him and said, nope, I'm delivering this bridge. Here's your sign. Sometimes life is obvious and we just need a sign to remind us what it is that we're supposed to do. I love it. Our sister was walking through Sam's Club. And right in the middle of Sam's Club, God puts a billboard. God is so good about doing that. The reason I came up with Here's Your Sign just for today is after Easter, my wife and I said, we're going to take a vacation. The kids were asking, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to go here. We're going to go there. We looked into some things. We said, you know, we'll just stay local. That's what we'll do. We'll just enjoy ourselves and relax. Well, Sunday after Easter, we had a great service. We went and had a great lunch. And like most of you, enjoyed our family and then the phone started ringing off the hook, and then off the hook. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. It's Easter. Just close it and don't answer it. I said, no problem. We'll start tomorrow. I'll stop by the office for 5 minutes, make sure everything's ready while I'm gone. And so made my way to the office. And, of course, Easter evening, we had those huge winds. And how many of you have seen the sign down here when you come into the church? It says Grace Ministry Center right there by the guest. You've seen that sign. How many of you have seen letters missing from that sign? How many of you thought you should stop and find those? Wait a minute. Okay, one. And did you? No? Okay. Well, I came in Monday after that, went and I saw GRAC Men Center. No time, no dates, no phone number. It was all gone. The wind had blown everything away. And so as I'm driving by, I saw the sign. And I thought, okay, I'm going to stop. And so I pulled in the gas station. I looked out, and sure enough, sitting right below it, there was one of the letters. I picked it up. I said, all right, I'm on a mission. And I made my way, and I looked down in the ditch in the water, and there was a letter. And I picked up another one. And I looked around, and that was about it, too. And then I looked across the street. I saw which way the wind was blowing, where these were, and I thought, the swamp with all the cattails. I'll bet there's a lot up and down that stretch by the railroad tracks to the overpass. So here I was, my first day of vacation, and I'm out there in the swamp, and I'm trudging through this, and there was a letter. It was like Easter egg hunting. And I found a letter, and I walked through the swamp, and I got further into it, muddy, and I'm going through, and I'm finding other letters. I found letters that we hadn't used since last summer. Broken and muddy. And I'm digging through this stuff, having a great old time. People are driving by, honking their horns, and waving, and I'm picking up signs, thinking, come on over. Here's your sign, Grace. And I'm going up and down the swamp, and I found about 14 letters. And I drove over, and I said, here, I found some letters. And it kind of ran through my mind. When the letters are missing, do you see the sign? And how often sometimes we miss the sign. Have you seen the sign lately? And then I got in the office, my intern had the nerve to say, Pastor, you're late. And I said, yes, I am, because I was picking up muddy letters. So we went through stuff and we got ready, and then someone buzzed into the office. Hey, Pastor, when you're out and about, could you pick up some stamps? I could, I guess, do that. I've done that before. And I started asking myself the question, is that really what the pastor does? And so as I'm walking through this going, I could get stamps, I could pick up letters, but I wonder if there is anybody in the church that might say, you know what, that could be my ministry. I could be the swamp director. And so I got to thinking about this, and I read this scripture, and it says, in those days there were a lot of disciples increasing. And the Grecian Jews complained about the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked. Because somebody wasn't feeding people. And there's a food ministry. And I thought, here's your sign. How hard is it to feed people food? And there's a ministry. And they went to the pastors and they said, Pastor, could you make sure that these people are getting bread? Sure. Would you like some stamps too? Because isn't that really what's... Is there nobody else that could do it? And they said, they appointed for themselves people who could do these things. And so it really got my mind going in my heart. I started praying about it. I said, don't we all have a sign? Aren't we all looking for a sign? What could I do? And God leaves signs for us everywhere, and He calls us to things. And it doesn't matter if we're 15, 50, or 75. What could I do if God wanted me to step up and to do something? Here's your sign. And so that's this morning. What are the signs that God has for us? Now, as a pastor, the first thing I want to tell you, here's the first sign. The first sign is this. It is, do what you love, and you will love what you do. I know, that's pretty deep, isn't it? Yogi Berra probably said that somewhere. Do what you love, and you will love what you do. That ought to be a sign in our lives. In the church, I don't necessarily love buying stamps. I don't love going into the swamp. Oh, that was kind of fun. But I tell you what I do love. I love preaching. I want to do what I love because I love what I'm doing. I love it. My typical week, if I could do anything, I wouldn't be buying stamps. If I could do anything, I wouldn't be doing administration in the office. If I could do anything, I wouldn't be running the Xerox. If I could do anything, I wouldn't be leading worship. Somebody else can do those kind of things. If I could do anything, I would just preach the Bible. That's all I would do. 7 days a week. I love it. Today I get to preach twice. We had a great early service. We have a full second service. I'm going to go home and I'm going to get ready. And on Sunday nights, I either am teaching a leadership team of youth, I get to teach the Word of God, or I'm teaching a home group. I love our home group. I love to teach. Tuesday mornings, if you ever get a chance, you ought to come out here at 11. We have our joy ministry. I love our joy ministry. It's just older youth. They're 55 and older. Although I'm telling you, you can sneak in if you want, if you're younger, okay? We're studying the book of Job, and we're just having a great time in that. I love it. And then I go from joy ministry to 55 and olders on Tuesday morning. On Wednesday night, I get to work with our high school students on Wednesday night with about 50 high school students. I love that. I would do this every day, every minute, 7 days a week if I could teach. That's what I love to do, and I do what I love. But then I show up some days, somebody will come up to me and you know me, if you come up to me and you say, Pastor, because this is what's happening in the Bible. They said, Pastors, there's some women that aren't getting food. What do you want me to do about it? get yourself a spoon and start serving on the food line, Pastor. Is that really what you want me doing? And they said, is it right for us to stop preaching the Word of God? Why not appoint for yourself people who can do this? Find your food people. Find your swamp people. Find your stamp people. That's what we ought to do. And I find this interesting. It says that they did this and they chose for themselves anointed, Spirit-filled people. Now, usually what happens in the church, if you find someone Spirit-filled, I love this. You look around in a church and you see people doing this. Just worshiping the Lord, and you're like, oh, they must be Spirit-filled. They should be teaching a Sunday school class. You know what they said here? If you got Spirit-filled people who love the Lord and they're wise, you ought to put them in the kitchen. And I tell you, when you have anointed food, you got a growing church. I'm telling you what, good food will grow a church in more ways than one. You ought to have an anointing. But it's not about the food. He's not talking about food here. He's talking about doing something that's anointed. See, I want a spiritual anointing, not a fleshly appointment. I don't want to do something because someone says, well, there's nobody doing it. If you love what you do, you'll do what you love. And I'll tell you, I love sharing the Word of God. I could do it all day, every day. There are people, if you want to know who loves doing things, if I want something built in this church, I'll call a few guys up that I know. I say, hey, I could use a cross. This week on Monday, I called one of our guys and said, hey, could you call so-and-so and see if he'll build us a cross? I expected a 2x6 and a 2x6 and 4 screws. We're doing something for the youth. We're doing a bonfire out here called a crosswalk. I need a cross. He comes pulling up on Wednesday morning, 2 days later, and if you get a chance, just drive around the corner here and look out in this field by the lake. On this side of this old building. There's a cross out there. It's the best cross I've ever seen in my life. It is incredible. I mean, he must have taken one of those things and kind of gouged out the edges to make it look authentic. He stained it. It's got the ropes. It's got 9-inch spikes in it. I said, you did this in 2 days. If I want a castle built next door, I call a few guys. And they're out there all day, all night. I'll come by and they'll have the candle burning out here and they're building stuff just nonstop, round the clock. Why? Because if you do what you love what you do. These guys, I say, are you guys doing okay? Oh, we're exhausted. But we love it, Pastor. This is what we love. I needed costumes. I know who to call. There's a few ladies in this church. If I need costumes, I'll call them up. And they'll say, okay, and they made over 50 costumes, put them all together, or borrowed them, and sewed, and did this, and it was incredible. They got done with our youth stockholders, and Easter was coming up, and I wanted to do an Easter drama so bad, and we did that a couple weeks ago, and I said to this gal, I said, listen, would you make me 5 angel costumes and 1 demon costume, and put together a couple Roman soldier costumes in the next few days? And she looked at me, and she went, it's like when your wife has a baby, and you're standing there just after 27 hours of labor, and you say, let's have another one. And if she could reach up and grab a hold of you, you'd be dead. And I said to her after we did that huge production, and they did such a wonderful, I said, could you make me some more costumes? And she just had that look in her eyes. But here it is. When it's anointed, when you love what you do what you love. She says, I can't. Nope, not going to happen. I said, okay. A couple days went by. Now we've only got a few days before Easter. And I said, oh, that's too bad. I called her up and we were talking. I said, I would really love to have you make some costumes. She said, you know what? It's weird. God just opened up some time. I thought I was going to be doing this. I might be able to go get the material for you. So I gave her the credit card. I said, go. She went and she got the material. And then I called her up. I said, maybe we can get some. She goes, oh, I'm already working on them. I got 3 done. I said, really? She goes, I'll have that. I talked to her husband. He says, I hate you. I said, I don't think that's a word Christians use. I said, what's the matter? He said, I haven't been able to sleep in my bed for 2 nights. There's costumes laid out all over my bedroom. And it's your fault, Pastor. She did it. She had them ready. And she pulled all-nighters. Why? Because if you do what you love, you'll love what you do. If I want to know who works with children around here, I'll find the kids people. They are incredible. You know when you find kids people and they love what they do. Here's your sign. You find them. We went to visit a church. We don't get to do that too often. And we're in this church and this lady, we're trying to find our way around. So we kind of get directed. We finally get where we're going, and you can see the registration of where the kids are. And so we're going to get them back to where and this church is about 5,000 or 6,000 people. They meet in a mall in Grand Rapids. So we went over and we visited with them, and we're in there, and I'm looking around, and we find the kids area, and there's a guy standing there. And this guy reminds me a lot of our own Mike, who works with our kids. Big fella. He's got the cool little hip glasses the guys wear. He's probably my age. He's got this spiked hair, dyed kind of white and brown and this and that. And he's wearing these cool clothes. He's standing at the door as all these kids are coming in, kindergarten through fourth grade into the kids' zone. And he's got this big star made out of tin foil and cardboard. And parents are coming in and kids are coming. And all these kids are high-fiving him. They're just giving him high fives and high fives and high fives. And he's not even paying attention to the parents. And I realized this guy must do this every single Sunday. That must be his job in the church. That's his swamp. And if you're working with children, that is a swamp. I did that once. In a church, I thought, I'm going to do it just to see so I know as the pastor how this goes. I walked into that toddler room. There were 19 toddlers. Now, the couple that do this every time, they were in there. I just said, I'm going to help. I just want to know what it's all about. I walked in. It was like a herd of wild antelope running at me. Pastor! And I went, oh. They were jumping on me, crawling on me, biting me, punching me, kicking me. I said, everybody sit. You're kidding. Every Sunday? You got to have an anointing for that. This guy got high fives from everybody that came through the door. We watched a little girl come in, and she high-fived and went by, and that's all the guy did, just high-five and high-five. And he had this star. And people say, who are you? I'm a superstar. That's who he was. He was a superstar. He had one job in that church, high-fiving those kids. And I bet he did that every Sunday because they knew the routine. And I watched this one little girl. She went by, and she had to have been about 7. She went by, and she high-fived him. She had her little dolly in her hand. And she went by him after high-fiving. She took a few steps. She stopped. She turned around. She came back. She goes, my doll wants to high-five you. Ka-choo. I said, look at that. He's a superstar. You see, when you do what you love what you do. See, the pastor said, we just want to preach the word and to pray. That's what we want to do. Appoint yourself some people who will stand in the kitchen, and some of you love food stuff, and get the food people in the food place, and they love it. And you look around, you can find the food people. They love to cook. And I'll tell you, a church has got to have some anointed cookers. Passion. It's about finding your passion. What will make you go till 2 in the morning and the pastor calls up, are you done yet? I'm so tired. If you ever call me again, I'll probably do it because you love it. When you find passion, you know you found your place. And you know, I talk to people all the time, and they're trying to find their place. They're trying to find, God, what do you have for me? I love it. Susie, it's never too late. We're going to get into that in just a minute, but I love it to find her passion. What is it that drives you? What is it that wakes you up at night? What is it that you think about? That's what you ought to be doing. Whether it's greeting people at the door, whether it's working in the nursery, whether it's buying stamps, there's something for everyone. Let me preach and pray, and you come alongside and go to the hospital, sit with someone as they're sick. Go to a funeral home and just give an ear and just sit with a person who's crying. You have nothing to say, but you're there. Go into a nursery and change some diapers and scream, sit. But find your place. You know, you're looking for your place. God will give you a sign, whether it's in Sam's Club, whether it's in the church, whether it's anywhere else. I got to hear this one pastor. He said that he was trying to find out what his son was going to be when he grew up. He was 18 years old. Said, I don't know what I want to do, Dad. And he was praying, God, show me what my son's supposed to do when he grows up. He's 18 years old. God, give me a sign. And God told him, he says, one day, he says, here's what I want you to do. It's not orthodox. I don't recommend it. But he says, go out. And so he got four things. And God says, take these four things, set them on his dresser in his bedroom. So he came in and he set a bottle of whiskey on his dresser. He set a silver dollar on his dresser. He set a girly magazine and he set a Bible. And he felt like the Lord was telling him, if he drinks the whiskey, when he comes home, if he goes and grabs the whiskey, he's going to be an alcoholic when he grows up. If he grabs the coin, he's going to be a banker. If he grabs the girly magazine, he's going to be a womanizer. If he grabs the Bible, he's going to be a preacher. So the dad was excited. He got into the closet. He's looking through the lattice. His son comes home. His son walks in his bedroom, sees these four things on his dresser. He takes a look. He reaches over. He grabs the whiskey. He takes a swig. Grabs a coin. Sticks it in his pocket. He reaches over. Grabs a girly magazine. Flips through it a little bit. Opens the Bible. Sticks it in. Closes it. Puts it under his arm. Walks out. The dad walks out. Says, "Dear Lord, you're calling my son to be a politician." Whoops. Oh boy. People are looking for signs. God, what do you want to do with my life? God, what is it that I'm supposed to do? I know God has something for me. I know it's from Him. And I'm going to do it with all my heart. Because if you find what you love, if you do what you love, you'll love what you do. You see, a lot of you are trying to find places and do things just because it's a warm place, just because nobody else is doing it. Can I tell you, step up and do what God calls you to do. Let this church be something amazing. I'll tell you, if we'll all do that, it's not just going to affect your home, but watch what happens to this community as everyone steps up to find that place that God has for them. And when you do, can I tell you, your life will be transformed. When you find what you love, you will love what you find. I studied pre-law for 3 years. I thought that was it. My father was a lawman for 20 years. My grandfather was a circuit court judge. Two of my uncles were detectives in Oakland. Another uncle was a cop and a sheriff for 16 years. My aunt was a cop. Guess what? I went to law school. 3 years into it, I had a 1.5, 1.6, and 1.7 GPA. I studied, but I didn't do well. Then I found what I love. God called me in the ministry. I went to Bible college, and it wasn't easier. In fact, it was harder. But once God gets a hold of you, it doesn't matter whether it's easy or hard. My heart was in it, and I went from a 1.5 to a 3.8. Listen, Christians, let's get the church from a 1.5. Oh, we got to do the nursery. Oh, we got to do this. Let's go from a 1.5 church to a 3.8 church. Wouldn't it be amazing if everyone did what they loved, and they loved what they did? I'll tell you what. You'd never get tired or burned out. And that's what God calls you. Here's your sign. The second sign that He has in there is this. You're only out of time when time runs out. You only run out of time when time runs out. I know that's deep. In other words, this. I know a lot of people who aren't doing what God wants them to do because God called me when I was in college to do this Bible college. Great, let's do it. That was our meeting this week. It was great. It was encouraging. I meet people all the time and say, you know, I thought about being a pastor, or I thought about doing this with my life. You know, I've always wanted to. Can I encourage you? It's never too late to do, as long as you have time until time runs out. I know that's deep. Go ahead and write, here's your sign. Here it is, Stephen. They grabbed Stephen, this young man, and Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. Says, Stephen! He says, yes, I praise God. Praise God, hallelujah, bless Jesus, what? Stephen, we want, yes, bless God, praise Jesus, hallelujah, what? Slow down, buddy. Yeah, praise you. Okay. Stephen, we know you're full of Spirit. Yeah, hallelujah. Okay, I'm sorry. What do you want me to do? We want you to serve macaroni and cheese in the kitchen. You got to praise God. I'll do it. Whatever you want me to do. I love Jesus. Stephen does this. You know how much time he does this? A man full of the Holy Spirit. The Bible describes his face as the face of an angel. Loves the Lord. Read the next chapter. He's killed. He only works in the kitchen for a short time. But he does what he does in the time until time runs out. It's never too late. It is never too late. I was watching TV this week. Maybe you saw this, the interview. World War II. Guy that was in World War II, 84 years old. He just enrolled in college to be a psychologist. They're interviewing him on national news. They ask him the question, what are you doing? You're 84 years old. He said, when the war started, I was going to go to college and be the only one in my family to have gone to college. And I went to World War II. And I've just never gotten around to it. But I decided before I'm done, I'm getting my college degree. I'm going to be a psychologist. And the interviewer, I tell you, some of these questions. Well, what do all the girls think about you being an older man? And I look, 84-year-old, he looked at me and says, what? What are you talking about? I'm married. Like, good for you. And he said, when I'm done, I'm getting my psychology degree. And they probably thought, oh, that's nice to have your piece of paper. He says, no. When I get my degree, I'm going to work with veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan with post-traumatic war syndrome. I'm going to counsel them because I was in a war 70 years ago. It's never too late. You always have time until time runs out. Here's your sign. Why did God heal you so many times? A brain tumor, cancer, your blindness, your arm, your husband. She said, amen. What a wonderful couple. What a great people they are. Why? It's never too late. Preach the word. Get that Bible knowledge. Teach it. It's never too late. What are you waiting for? You're only out of time when your time runs out. And then the final one is this. I can't do everything, but I can do something. I can't do everything. And I find that out. Some of you called. Let me just put a disclaimer. I was gone for the first time in a year for a week. And the phone rang off the hook. I know that. People are like, where are you? Some of you called a few times here and there. Nothing wrong with that. I just didn't return your calls. As the phone rang up in my room, I was out in the ocean on a boogie board in 55-degree water, not caring in the sense of I'm with my family. I can't do everything, but I can do one thing. I can preach the word and proclaim it so that you can hopefully understand it, and it will help you walk in your faith. That's what I want to do. Do I want to go down to the swamp? Not unless I have a paintball gun and about 30 teenagers. Do I want to go buy stamps? Sure, if I'm on my way to lunch with someone, I'll do that. Folks, what is it that God's called you to? You can't do everything, but you can do one thing. Every little thing matters. You know what amazes me in this whole story? It says they called these seven men up, and they had them line up in the altar. Usually when you line spirit-filled people up in the altar, you're sending them to Africa, you're sending them on the mission field, you're ordaining them to be pastors. You know what they were ordaining them? They laid hands and they prayed, saying, God, fill them with your spirit. May the food be good. What? Amen. The food, may it be good. Because if you want to know what true religion is, James tells us in the Bible, to care for the widows and the orphans. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. These men were full of the Holy Spirit. Listen, whether you have a ladle in your hand in the kitchen, or whether you clean bathrooms, or whether you hand out bulletins to people who walk through the door, everything matters. I love the scripture in Colossians when it says in chapter 3, it says, do everything as though unto the Lord. Do everything and not as unto men. Do you know whenever you do anything? You know that guy with that superstar? You know what he was doing? He was high-fiving kids for Jesus. Those kids were seeing Jesus in him. And I don't care if you wear a star around your neck and all you do is stand at the door and kids come by and you high-five. Do it to the Lord. Because nothing you do is for me. Nothing you do is for one. It is unto the Lord. Love one another. Everything can't be done, but something can be done. We're about to do the blessing of the bikes, and I have one job in our blessing of the bikes. We've done it 2 years now. This will be our third year. I said, I don't want to do anything. They had my name up at the top at the meeting the other day. I took my name off the top. I'm not in charge. If you want to know who that is, that's Bill and Sue. They just joined the church. You're in now. You're done. Once you signed on the dotted line, they're doing our blessing of the bikes. It's going to be awesome. Here's how God does it. When you do what you're supposed to do, they're out there. And I tell you, this thing's just coming together and just building and building from what others have done. I said, I'll do one thing. I'll take care of the PR and the honor that we're trying to work on. An honor thing that we're working on is this. I talked to First Sergeant Shannon Brasher. He's 3 Purple Hearts, Vietnam, Grenada, Panama, Desert Storm. He's been shot up, blown up, stabbed, left for dead. He's one of the most awesome heroes I've ever met in my entire life. I talked to him the other day. We'd like to bring him in, and he does what's called Heroes Day. It's not just for our military. It's for our police officers who every day put their life on the line for you, our firemen who run into buildings every day for you, our EMS that are rescued. There's so many more, but we're going to start with those 3. In this community, we're inviting them in, and he's going to proclaim that is Heroes Day. He's going to bring a commencement. We want to line up. We have motorcyclists that are going to come in. We're going to bless the bikes, but we're going to have them ride. As they go on their ride, we're going to have all the military, all the people. It's all going to be involved. And as they go on their ride through town, we'd like to line up this entire city of M25 with ribbons on June 5th, as far as the eye can see, for every hero to say, thank you. You don't know my name, and you're willing to give your life for me. Deputy sheriff, police officer, EMS, fireman, thank you for what you're doing. Soldier, Marine, we're going to have a color guard out here. Army, Navy, Air Force, thank you for what you do. We're going to honor them. As I called him up the other day, and he's talking, he says, Pastor, I'm there. Don't even worry about an honor. I know you'll take care of me. He says, but you're my pastor. Anytime you need me, I'll be there. See, I can't do all that detail stuff, but I can do one thing in this. I can help bring that guy in so that we can bless this community. See, you can't do everything, but you can do something. And the Bible says this. It says, so the word of God spread, and the number of disciples increased rapidly, and a large number of priests. I love it. When the pastors start getting saved, you know the church is good. They got saved. I can't do everything, but I can do something. And what's that something I want to do? I just want to bless the Lord and make a difference in this community. Whether it's blessing people who serve us every day or feeding 5,000 people at Christmas time, that's what we do. We're working with the kids or the children or whatever it might be. What can you do? My wife and I had the privilege of just absolutely enjoying ourselves. We got down there, it was 80 degrees. It was a record day. I said, what a great day. I mean, I got home on Monday after doing the swamp and the stamp and all that. I said, if we don't leave town, we're not getting a vacation. So about 8 o'clock, I went online, found a deal, and I said, let's go. We called the kids. They were at a bonfire. I said, hey, if you guys want to go on vacation, we're leaving. They said, when? I said, now. What if we forget something? I said, we'll buy it. We're leaving. 10:30, we threw everything in the car, everybody in the car, and we took off. 3 a.m., we're going through West Virginia mountains, high winds. And I'm driving, everybody's asleep. I'm thinking, what am I doing? Oh, yeah, I'm on vacation. Noon, we got there. I said, we have record-setting day today. It's 84 degrees. I jumped in the ocean. That wasn't record-setting. And I said, this is me getting away. What a beautiful scene it was, walking up and down that beach, and at night, looking off our balcony or going out there and seeing this beautiful sand as the tide would pull back. Just gorgeous. Shells everywhere. Just beautiful. The sand is washed from the tide, so everything's perfect. It was just gorgeous. And at night, just the scene of the moon hitting the ocean and that everything. I said, this one. It reminded me of this in this sense. A pastor who needed a getaway went to Mexico. You've heard the story, I'm sure, many of you. And on his getaway, he's down there along the beach one night as the sun is setting, and a phenomenon happens every so often. All of these beautiful, incredible starfish, by the tens and the hundreds of thousands, get washed up on the shore. And this pastor, who's on vacation, walks from his bungalow. He's down there, and he sees this little boy. And this little boy is tossing these starfish into the ocean. And as he's doing this, the pastor looks at him and is looking up at this mile after mile of beach and ten thousands and hundreds of thousands of. And he looks down and here's your sign. He had to say it, didn't he? He had to say it. What are you doing? The little boy looked up and he says, I'm throwing these starfish back into the ocean. And then he said, you can't possibly save all of these. And the little boy looked down at his hand at a starfish he'd just picked up, looked up at the pastor and said, nope. But I saved that one. The pastor went back to his bungalow and late that night, he couldn't sleep and he thought about that little boy. And he got up and he walked down to that beach and he just sat there. I can't do everything, but I can do something. God doesn't ask us to do everything. He just asks us to do something. Here's your sign. What is it that God has for you? Would you stand and pray with me?